All right. Let me slide around here, get situated. How's everybody's volume levels? Are they okay?
They're okay.
Okay for me. It sounds good.
What about you, Django? Are you okay? Yeah. He's
Django's just licking himself.
Yeah. Good boy, Django, I guess. Hello, and welcome to Canyon Creek. I'm Bill Gannon, and I'm here with my wife, Jessica, and my sons, Ian and Colin. And today, we'd like to talk about... Welcome back to Canyon Creek. What?
Are you recording?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Start again.
I did. What do you mean, start again?
Welcome back to Canyon Creek.
But I just said it.
Are you going to cut all this out?
No.
Okay.
It's filler. It's fun. I'm sliding in my chair though.
Mm. Are you still not going to cut this out?
I am still not going to cut this out. But welcome back to Canyon Creek, everybody.
Welcome back.
Today it's just going to be myself, Jess, and Colin, as Ian is feeling a little bit under the weather and has decided to take some time off. So today we're going to discuss UFOs, unidentified flying objects, also known as UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena.
So
Jess is actually going to tell us about some local UFO sightings from within the Boyertown, Gilbertsville, Lehigh Valley area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's actually, there's a website. NUFORC, not sure what that stands for, but it is a registration site if you've seen a UFO where you can go and report it.
What are the letters?
NUFORC.
Maybe National UFO Research Center?
That sounds actually probably correct. So, yeah, so you can, you know, if you have a UFO sighting, you can go to this website and you can report it. So over the years we've lived in this area, I've noticed via the oh-so-accurate Facebook that there seems to be a number of UFO sightings in the Boyertown-Gilbertsville area. So I wanted to go and look and see how true that was. So according to the site, it's not tremendous. We're not talking everyday kind of sightings, but there have been some reputable sightings in this area dating back. The site only goes back to, I think, like the early to mid 90s.
Okay.
So
pretty decent.
Anything before that. Now some of the sightings from the 90s, I didn't print out because there wasn't a whole lot of detail to them, but the more recent ones have much more detail. And by recent, I'm talking about the, from 2000 up to present. So the most recent one I found was in 2021 in New Hanover, Pennsylvania. So that's our township. There were 15 circular objects flying at low altitude. So a gentleman and his reported he and his wife spotted 15 orange circular objects flying at low altitude from east to west off of a local highway. And they actually recorded a video, which I did know I don't have access to. I haven't looked for it directly, but they recorded 9 of the crafts and it lasted 2 minutes.
Was there a link to that video on the site that you were looking at? No,
no links, but I'm sure that we could find one.
Maybe try and YouTube it
and see if we can maybe link that to our podcast.
Okay.
So that was the most recent one I found. Some other ones that this one from 2016 in Gilbertsville, which is our town, had two observers who saw 3 black rectangular objects traveling in a line at low altitude with no sound. And it said the person who described it said the altitude of the objects appeared to be between what an ultralight aircraft would fly and a small aircraft. And the objects were moving at a constant speed from the northwest. And then the lights went out, but he could still see one of the objects was visible. I guess it was backlit and rotating. It was, again, a husband and wife in their early 50s. They report they're both engineers. And this is the first time they've reported seeing anything. And they could not come up with anything that they knew as engineers that would fit what they saw.
So in both of those accounts, was there any mention of like any kind of sound emanating from these?
Both of these say there was no sound that they could hear. No sound, no apparent means of propulsion. They weren't seeing chemtrails come out the back.
Did they give like a distance? Say maybe we thought it was about a half a mile away versus, you know, maybe 100 feet up in the air over the tree line, stuff like that?
Nothing that specific, though. The one from 2016 says that it just appeared to be low altitude.
Okay.
Something I've noticed, both stories have the UFOs at low altitude. Is that like a continuous thing?
Well, let's find out.
That's a really good question.
That is a very good question. So so there were two that I found in the year 2010 that were both one in Gilbertsville, one in Boyertown. So let's see what these say. So there was one in May 2010. Reported by 6 people.
Okay, that's pretty decent.
Appeared to be a flame. There was a glowing object over Gilbertsville. And they reported it appeared to be a flame. It had trailing light behind it. They thought initially it could have been a hot air balloon, but changed directions at the same altitude and moved at such an altitude that they figured they would have heard something if it had been like a hot air balloon. You know, you can hear the whoosh.
So are these sightings at all times of the day? Are they evening? Are they late at night, early morning?
That's
Is
good
there
question.
Any type of indication as to the time of them?
Yes. So this, let's see, the one I'm talking about now in 2010, they reported it happened at 9 p.m. local time.
And that was the month of May, you said?
Month of May.
That would be, it would still be relatively light out because of daylight savings time. So interesting.
Hold on, make sure I got it. Yeah, that was at 9. The one in 2016 was in August, and they reported that at 8:15 p.m.
Again, the sun, light. Yeah, still light out. So easy to see.
And then the one in 2021 was also reported at 8:15. That was in May.
All right.
8:15 p.m.
So they all seem to be right around the same time. I would say evening, where the sun's going down, right? Yeah, because the sun, it starts to get dark around 9.
Yes.
8:30, 9 o'clock.
So the one in 2010 in May, again, said that they didn't hear any sounds. But after watching it for a while, they realized it wasn't so much a flame as like a glow. There is a post to YouTube on this one.
Okay.
There's a link, which they've included here, so we can put that up with our podcast. Because the person who reported this said they did not record it, but they found somebody else who had.
All right.
That's what was posted on YouTube. And then the other one in 2010 that I found, it was in October.
Going back to the link you mentioned. Do you have the link there? Like, is it Boyertown UFO? What's it called?
Oh, it's just because the whole link, you know, / watch, blah, 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 okay. blah, blah, blah. So it's nothing easy to find. So then the other one in 2010, like I said, was in October, happened at 9 p.m. So it would have been dark, but they reported that this happened during the local Boyertown Halloween parade.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, for folks not from our area, is a huge deal for our area. The parade... Everyone goes to the parade.
Yeah, it's quite long. It's almost like a 2.5 hour parade, 3 hour parade.
So this person says they were watching the parade with their kids, and the person had gotten distracted by 3 reddish orange objects in the sky. Looked kind of like a fireball, but it was just hovering.
Okay.
So at least one other person saw the things, and someone posted on the internet that they saw it, but there was again no video.
Okay. So one of the things, at least as far as the earlier ones, the 2010, 2016, I would say that drones weren't that popular yet. So the possibility Correct. Of somebody playing around and maybe using a drone to fly around, I guess drones are small, though, the personal people, the mm-hmm. ones that people do, they give a, have any of the reports given dimensions like it was big or it was the size of a, you know, train car? Or
no, I mean, again, it's like orange ball of fire. The other one was also described initially as being like a glow or a fireball. The mm-hmm. only one that gave any sort of shape or size was in 2016, the one who reported it was a rectangle.
Okay.
They definitely said it was a rectangle and they didn't, but they didn't give a size.
Okay.
Just that it was a rectangle. But most drones aren't necessarily rectangles.
No, they're various shapes. I mean, exactly. We just got the boys a drone for yep, Christmas.
And it's a triangle shape.
Yeah. So, okay.
So two more that I found that I thought were interesting. In 2006, in April, this happened at 2 in the afternoon over Boyertown. An observer was sitting outside when they heard two military planes pass over their house, which is not uncommon in this area.
Yeah, we just had, I think I would call them Blackhawks,
mm-hmm.
that flew low yesterday, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. I thought it was an earthquake for a second.
It sounded like it. It
did. It really did. So this person says, you know, they watched the planes go by. And they, as he heard them coming and he looked up in the sky facing the southwest, they saw a cloud that seemed to be horseshoe shaped, which the cloud is not what he's saying was the UFO.
Mm-hmm.
But it dissipated and the military planes flew over, watched the cloud. He watched them, then looked back from where they came and found there was a triangle hovering in the sky.
So the planes passed by,
mm-hmm.
and he looks back from where they came,
mm-hmm.
and then he's describing seeing a UFO.
Yes.
Almost like the UFO was chasing? Was it moving?
Nope, it was just hovering.
Hovering.
It said, okay, in the sky, not moving.
All right.
It didn't look away, and then fast as he could tell, it headed towards the north, stopped on a dime, and stayed still for another 30 seconds.
Did the military planes turn around and come back?
Nope. Or,
okay.
Nope. Then, after that, it moved back to its first position and then disappeared in a blink of an eye.
Interesting.
Then a commercial airliner was passing overhead, and he watched. And as he watched that fly over, another triangle appeared in the western sky, not moving. And that one followed the commercial aircraft for a moment and then disappeared.
Interesting.
I wonder what they want.
That's a good question.
Maybe they're interdimensional travelers.
Maybe.
Maybe they teleported.
Maybe they teleported.
Maybe yeah. they did. And so the last one that I printed out is from 1997. So this one's going back. There's not a ton of detail as some of these other ones, but just to say this is not a new phenomenon. Over Boyertown, this happened in November at almost 7 o'clock in the evening.
All right. So daylight savings, it would have been dark.
Mm-hmm. A bright circular-shaped object or star was giving off different wavelengths of light.
Was it by wavelengths? Is he trying to say that it was pulsating? The lights are pulsating or they were changing colors?
I think he's trying to say they changed colors.
Okay.
Or brightness. And that there were, it says there were two at different locations that appear to be in a straight line from each other. But honestly, they do report that it could have been just a star, but it didn't seem like it.
Okay. Well, stars tend to twinkle.
Yeah.
As you're looking at them, where planets don't.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking up in the night sky. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So that is just a sampling of definitely more of the more recent ones, but there were some I didn't print out because they didn't have, like I said, as much detail.
Okay. Colin, looked like you wanted to say something.
Did you read them? Did any of them say anything about altitude?
Altitude?
Just that it was low altitude, but what that is defined as is not clear.
Okay, so all of them said it was low altitude.
Not all of them.
Some of them.
Some of them said low altitude. Some of them said that the object appeared black in color.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them said that they appeared to be glowing.
Okay.
Like orange. Orange seems to be the most common color that people were reporting.
Yeah.
So that's a commonality. But yeah.
So one of the reasons why I chose to talk about UFOs today was when Chris and C were visiting us back in October,
mm-hmm.
you took Ian to Taekwondo,
mm-hmm.
and you had called us to say, take a look at the sky. You could see the aurora borealis. Mm-hmm. So we all rushed out to the back deck of the house, and we could. Mm-hmm. It was a faint glow over the tree line, but we could definitely see the aurora. And then Chris actually said, oh, look, there's a satellite. And we looked up, and we could see the Starlink mm-hmm. satellites. Because they're, I think, what at the time, we were able to only see like maybe three or four traveling in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the space station was probably passing by at the same time. Now, I've never seen the space station.
I have not.
But we definitely saw the Starlink satellites. And not that long ago, you came back from dropping Ian off at Taekwondo and told us, oh, you guys need to come out and see this. And so we stepped out of the house and we saw, and I have some pictures of it, because I didn't know what it was at the time. We saw multiple lights in a line flying.
Yes.
I guess it would be low Earth orbit. That turned out, after when I put the pictures up online on Facebook, I got the response that that's what the Starlink satellites look like. There's a bunch of them up there. They travel in a line, maybe 12. I don't know the exact number. But, yeah, that's, and they're in low Earth orbit, and you can see them.
But it seemed like a lot, because I remember it was like, it seemed like this long line, and I had no idea what I was looking at. But do you remember that, Colin? Do you remember coming out and looking at that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, my initial thought wasn't necessarily it was a UFO, because it just, there were so many of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could tell that they were far away based on how small the, you know, these weren't flying just above the tree line or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But then, again, when you noted that, you know, from your research, it was Starlink, like, well, that's cool. But then it got us thinking about, you know, what about UFOs in the area? Because I do feel anecdotally that there are multiple sightings reported, at least on local internet channels, that there are UFOs.
Yes. So
we thought it would be interesting.
So what do you guys think? Do you think UFOs are real? Do you think aliens are out there?
I mean, if we can't travel to the ends of the observable universe, then I think they're all aliens somewhere.
Okay.
I think it's a big universe not to have something else out there. I'm still on the fence about whether they're visiting our planet.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure aliens are real.
Because I just don't understand why they would take all the time and effort to travel here just to, what, observe us?
See.
Well, some people. Oh, what was it, Colin?
Maybe it's to see if we're a threat.
Maybe. I mean, that's a good suggestion. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm not going to get all ancient aliens on it. A lot of folks think that we are genetically modified by aliens, that they helped civilizations prosper, but that they only genetically altered us and created us, if you want to use the term created us, to be slaves. However, I don't know what happened to them, because back you know, according to Ancient Aliens, you couldn't swing a cat without hitting an alien somewhere, whether it was Central America, whether it was Asia, North America, the Star People, or Egypt, the Middle East, Africa. They were all over the place, even Europe.
Yeah.
So, but all of a sudden they all disappear. They all vanished. And every now and then you hear about the UFOs flying around. Personally, I think that there are. I think that there is intelligent life out there. That, Colin, I'm going to go with the idea that they're observing us to make sure that we don't become a threat. Because Tommy Lee Jones said it in Men in Black. A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky animals. So that might be a paraphrase. But I agree that we as a whole are panicky and will shoot first with a maybe ask questions later attitude. So, but yeah, I definitely believe that we're being watched and that we are under observation. Now, that said, you were talking about traveling all this distance.
Mm-hmm.
There is a theory, and I say this because it's been captured on tape that from a long time ago, I think when we first started the space program, either that or shortly after the 70s, or maybe still in the 70s, after we've landed on the moon, that some sort of asteroid, something hit the moon. Something hit the moon, and it let loose a ringing as if hitting something that was hollow. And the sound resonated for, I think they said, a couple of minutes, anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes. And solid objects don't resonate like that. So there's speculation called the hollow moon theory. There's also, since we can't quite see the dark side of the moon, although we do have satellite images, some of those satellite images are blurry in certain areas that are released to the public. Why is that? Don't know. It's all speculation. I wouldn't say conspiracy. It's all, you know, the aliens are on the other side of the moon waiting to attack us.
So two things with the whole ringing moon thing is sound doesn't travel in space. You can't hear in space. Sound waves don't travel in space.
Not sound waves, but vibration of the surface.
Okay, so a vibration to me is different than a ringing tone. So that's my counter argument to that.
I think they're using that as an example of that somebody can understand.
And I appreciate that is potentially what they meant, but I'm still skeptical. I think the family skeptic in terms of the UFOs. Now, that being said, I will say this. I know the government, the federal government of the U.S. has recently started releasing classified documents that could potentially show that UAPs are here. I will also say that if a trained pilot, astronaut, told me that they saw something that they could not explain, I will 100% trust them in that.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I've got a theory on why aliens are coming to Earth sometimes. Maybe it's just a coincidence and they were accidentally flying by.
Maybe.
Well, and that has been brought up, that perhaps they are on their way from here to there. Our particular solar system, our galaxy, we are on the edge.
Yeah, we're on one of the outer arms
of the
Milky Way.
The Milky Way galaxy. So it is entirely possible that we are just between here and there.
A flyover.
We're a flyover planet.
Yeah. And maybe why aliens haven't really looked into Earth was because of the other planets being like so hot. They thought Earth would be the same.
Okay.
Well, and it could also be that despite Earth being perfect for humanity and all of the creatures we have on this planet, it may be harsh for another living being.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where they would come from.
What kind of atmosphere they had on their planets.
So, I mean, our planet might be too hot for them or even too cold for them. depending on where they come from. So the only other thing I'll say right now, and then I know Bill wants to get to something he's got in his hand, but he...
that sounded odd.
Well, you're holding paper.
Yeah, there you go. this is a family program.
It is a family program. It is the whole ancient alien thing. I have to say, I don't believe in ancient aliens. I don't think they came here to help humanity build pyramids or anything else. And my rationale for that is, where did they go? They decided we needed help thousands of years ago, but let us nearly destroy ourselves with nuclear weapons. That, to me, makes almost no sense whatsoever.
And that is an extremely valid point. I like that point. You know, that's something I don't think I had thought of before. But you're right. I had some things I wanted to relate where you did the local sightings. I wanted to look into what the government has been doing over the past few years, because I'm sure a lot of people know that there's been a lot of information released over the past several years with relationship to UAPs. And I'm going to talk about some of the government's involvement with UFOs. So there is at least three areas that I wanted to touch on where the government is likely concealing information about secret projects, the foreign adversaries' advanced technology, as they put it. John Brennan, who was the former director of the CIA, has admitted being puzzled by recent UFO reports suggesting that some phenomena may be beyond current understanding. There are some, and there always are, secret government projects that our military and scientific communities are conducting. So there's a possibility that UFO sightings are likely secret test flights and development projects, like what used to be seen over Area 51, like the U-2 spy plane and the Oxcart spy planes. There's the foreign technologies and government's response, where some UFO sightings are technologies that are advanced from maybe Russia, China, those superpowers that have the capabilities of producing technologies, aerial advancements, mm-hmm. planes like the B-1 bomber, for example, that we have, mm-hmm. That you can't see with radar. So yeah, there are some foreign adversaries that are using their resources to build planes or rockets that mm-hmm. we might view as UAPs. And then I was looking at UFO sightings and national security. The articles that I was looking at were all from 2021 to 2024. So they are recent. The government has publicly discussed their findings on unidentified anomalous phenomena, concluding no evidence of off-world technology or unreported classified programs. This has not stopped the demands for disclosure of all classified UFO documents. So there's been renewed interest since 2017. There have been a couple of videos that were released by the Navy that showed some fighter pilots conducting maneuvers and seeing what they felt was UAP, and they followed it. There's audio descriptions on the video as well. You could hear the pilots talking back to the aircraft carrier that they were from, describing what they were seeing and how fast they felt it was going, the type of maneuvers that they were able to make that under current technology, we shouldn't be able to do. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who may not know, just that UFOs became part of the pop culture in 1947 as a result of the Roswell crash. Many folks believe that a UFO crashed, landed after being either fired upon or because of mechanical issues in New Mexico. And even the Army at the time said a UFO had crash landed in the desert. And then within 24 hours, they changed their tune saying, oh, no, it was a spy balloon. It was a weather balloon. It was something other than an alien spacecraft. Then there was the whole Project Blue Book that was started in the 60s and 70s to actually, it was designed to discredit initially UFO sightings. And they were able to explain a large number of those sightings that were reported by citizens across the country. But then there's almost, I think they said, maybe a 10 to 20% that they couldn't explain. Project Blue Book ended, I think, in the mid-70s, early 80s, I think it folded. And fun fact, there was a TV show called Project Blue Book. And it was around about the late 70s, early 80s.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun show. I used to watch it when I was a kid. And then, of course, the X-Files comes along. And then that's there to promote alien conspiracy. So despite the government denials, there's a lot of civilian groups and ufologists that suspect that the aliens have been working with various governments, both U.S., could be China, could be Russia, in order to help humanity. But obviously, we haven't really seen a lot of the, at least not overtly, seen a lot of the benefits from that. But maybe we are seeing them. Maybe we're using them today. Who knows? So, yeah, let's see. What else do we have here? So, modern government actions. The Pentagon has released reports of UAPs, which we just discussed. An All-Domain Anomaly Resource Office, AARO for short, and introduced new reporting tools for military and federal personnel to share their experiences. So that's new. So whereas before you used to be drummed out of the military for saying you saw something unidentified, now they're, at least as recently as 2024. I don't know how things are going to go under this new administration, especially with the morons that we have now at Department of Defense and Department of Justice and Department of...
Department of everything.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely, according to one site, there's increased UAP reports amongst civilians. The government's changing attitude. I referenced the naval videos, which came out in April of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could YouTube those. Preliminary assessment and findings since June of 2021, 144 UAP sightings over the past 17 years, many of which still remain unexplained, 366 new incidents since 2022, 163 identified as balloons, 26 as drones, and 6 as airborne clutter, while 171 are still uncharacterized. Now, I don't know what airborne clutter would mean, but it could be
maybe space debris, you know, something that is coming in from low orbit that's burning up in the atmosphere, maybe.
So let's see. Intelligence concerns. The report emphasizes aerospace safety and potential intelligence gathering by foreign entities, noting no mid-air collisions or health issues reported by pilots encountering UAPs. So although UAPs have come close to jets and planes being flown by military personnel, as well as civilian aircraft, there have been no reported incidences of collision. So I just touched upon the Pentagon and its Speak Up program, where you can report if you saw something. So what is the role of the AARO? As I said earlier, it's to establish a line that people can call into reporting what they saw. So a lot of what I used as sources for my research was actually from the Department of Defense. They have press releases that go out. One of my sources was by a Joseph Clark from DoD News. I've also used an article from IGN. The government just released its biggest unclassified UFO report ever by Anthony Wood. And The Atlantic, an article called "The U.S. Government UFO Cover-Up is Real, But It's Not What You Think" by Garrett M. Graff. And then finally, a Time Magazine article called "The Connection Between UFO Sightings and National Security" by Greg, I'm going to probably butcher this name, but Efigian? I apologize, sir, if I mispronounce your name. So these are all credible magazines and sources of information that people can go to if they wanted to look into things further.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in the end, it all comes down to what you feel you want to believe. Do you believe in UFOs? Do you believe aliens are real? Do you believe that they've helped humanity in giving us technologies that maybe we wouldn't have come up with on our own? Because if you think about it, with the rate of, I would say, evolution in tools that we use, over time, thousands of years from the wheel to the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a combustion engine. And then since, let's say, the mid-50s to now, we have electric vehicles, we have cell phones, we have all this technology, supercomputers that in some cases have put forward the idea of proving a multiverse.
Yep.
I'm going to say refer to Google's supercomputer. Supposedly, it solved a proof that should have taken eons to solve, but only took a matter of weeks, days to weeks.
It didn't even take that. It was ridiculously fast.
And the reason for that can only be explained as it linked out to computers in other dimensions in order to receive that final answer. So there are mysteries still out there. There are still questions unanswered, and we may never get the full deal.
Well, and of course, the one thing we did not discuss are alien abductions, and that could be its own podcast. That is a huge topic. You know, we focused today just on the UAPs, the aerial phenomena, and I think that that was purposeful because these topics can take a lot of time, and we would want to do a little bit more research. And it's not even mentioning the unidentified or unexplainable underwater phenomenon.
Yep.
That's a thing.
That is a thing. Absolutely.
There have been reports of men or women in the Navy or the Coast Guard reporting that they have seen things under the water.
Coming out, going in.
Things that they can't explain that don't look like animals and don't conform to what we know of bioluminescent algae or plankton. So, yeah.
Yeah, because keep in mind, Colin, there is still a vast amount of the underwater environment that we haven't explored, and we can't.
Yep. We don't have the technology yet.
Yeah.
But again, you know, with the whole UFO thing and the idea of reverse engineering certain technologies to speed up our own development, I won't say that it couldn't happen or hasn't happened. I just don't think the evidence is strong enough for me to fully buy into that theory.
Fair enough.
You know, I think humans are smarter than some people want to give us credit for, even if it's not always apparent.
What about you, Colin?
What do you think about UFOs, about the topic, about humans being smart? Do you think aliens came down to help us?
I don't think they came down to help us, but I do think they have passed by sometimes.
Okay.
Little flybys.
That's fair.
Let's not stop there. That place doesn't look right. All right, kids, roll your window up.
And it's probably going to take a while before we find one of those civilizations, even if it's a massive one.
That's true.
That I agree with. I agree with that completely.
Because we don't know how big the universe truly is, or if there's multiple universes.
Well, and that's...
there's interdimensional travel now.
That's getting into a whole other thought experiment about interdimensional travel. It could be that if there's aliens, they exist on a dimensional scale that we don't perceive. And maybe when we see a UFO, it's just that 30 seconds that they are visible in our dimension as they're going somewhere else. I think it's a very interesting thought.
Yep. Good deal. So, thank you guys for joining us today. I just want to put out there that we do this as a project on our own. We don't have anybody working with us. I basically produce this, record this, edit this, and with the help of Jess every now and then, research this, the various topics that we do talk about. So, you know, if it seems like that we are light in a lot of areas, I just don't have the infrastructure there to help out with getting a lot more information to you than that I want. But we definitely appreciate your patronage. We appreciate you listening to us, and I hope that you might leave a comment, help us get better, help us improve. And yeah, thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. And please tune in next time where we might... Oh, as we're recording this, it's March 16th. So we got St. Paddy's Day coming up. But who knows? Maybe we'll do a St. Paddy's episode next
weekend.
Yeah. It'll be a week behind, but... Yes. I didn't even think about that.
But if you celebrate, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
And
Erin Go Bragh.
Erin Go Bragh. And just to add on very quickly, if anybody who listens is interested in any particular topic and wants to know what the Gannon family thinks of it, please put it in the comments.
We've got plenty of opinions.
Oh, we are full of opinions.
Yes, we are.
Right, Colin?
I can agree.
Again, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. Thank Bye. You.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, it's me again. I just wanted to clarify some things that we discussed a little earlier on in the podcast. So the phrase ringing moon refers to the phenomena of the moon appearing to ring like a bell, particularly after events like the Apollo 12 lunar module ascent stage crash back in March of 1970. The crash caused vibrations that lasted longer than expected, and this ringing is a metaphor for the prolonged duration of seismic vibrations on the moon and not an actual sound. During the Apollo missions, seismometers were placed on the moon to detect vibrations from moon quakes, and some of these vibrations were described as ringing like a bell. The Apollo 12 mission deliberately crashed its ascent stage into the moon to see what kind of reaction they would get. The scientists found that the vibrations from the lunar seismic events, including the crash, lasted much longer than similar events here on Earth. The ringing, quote unquote, is a metaphor for the extended duration of these vibrations and not an actual sound. This is caused because the moon's different composition and structure, being more elastic and solid than the Earth's, cause vibrations to propagate and decay more slowly, leading to the perceived ringing effect. So, despite the quote's ringing phenomena, there is no evidence to suggest that the moon is hollow. So again, thanks for listening.